Hey everyone, and welcome once again to the Amateur Voice Actor Roundtable Podcast. This is our fifth episode. I am TZM Hero, and I am joined by
Nitrocosm
and Killrod X.
Wait a minute, wasn't there supposed to be other people here?
I don't want to talk about it. Originally, we were going to try to get Starchild onto the podcast as well, just to prove that both he and Killrod X could be in the same room with one another, or podcast with one another. Stuff came up, so he said he'd try to be on for the next one. So I'm already telling you, Killrod X, you got to be on to the next one as well, because we have to prove that you both exist at the same time. I mean, you could secretly be him, for all I know.
I'm kind of curious how this came about, that I could be Starchild? Question mark?
I just made it up. But
ooh, okay.
Well, I mean, that's slightly better than I thought Nitro was Toku. But beyond that, we're also going to have a special guest who, but apparently things probably came up with them too. I'm not going to say names. Should we tell everyone about the extreme?
Okay. So back in 2000, I had a dream, and this dream was about, I was in the Star Wars universe, and I was on one of the planets in Star Wars, and I was in a coffee shop in one of their cities. In the coffee shop, they were selling Star Wars memorabilia.
In Star Wars?
Including coffee mugs. Yes, I was actually in the Star Wars universe, in this dream. The funny thing is, in real life, around that time, there was a coffee shop up at the Dayton Mall near where I live, and they were actually selling Star Wars coffee mugs that were very similar, but they weren't extreme.
Hmm.
They were, in the dream, the coffee mugs were exaggerated, and the characters were just making these weird, extreme, stressed out, they were wall-eyed, looking in different directions, and their lower jaws were huge, and they had their mouths open like, so it was Star Wars extreme. And so I bought a crazy Luke Skywalker coffee mug from Star Wars Extreme, and then I did a drawing of it the other day on live stream. I have a live stream channel set up to where you can watch me draw stuff live, but yeah, that's what Star Wars Extreme's all about.
Apparently, nice. It works really well, but I can't see it.
Nah, you just need to get a better internet connection.
But yeah, ever since then, everything is start going, and that's a reference to Star Wars Extreme. Yeah, apparently Nitro here was having a hard time breathing after he first told us the story, and we were laughing so hard.
And I will chime in that I was thinking about this during work, trying not to make the voice. Thank you, Nitro. You made my day.
Hey, no problem.
Almost 2 weeks after the original story was told, because this was after the last episode, episode 4. But yeah, we are on episode 5. That is, to me, a milestone. I know usually people go, oh, episode 10, that's the big one, you know? How this podcast originally just started as, hey, let's just record some stuff at first. The difference between the first episode and the fourth episode on quality, I think it's just skyrocketed. So I want to thank you guys for sticking around, even though Killrod X popped in the second episode. Yeah, I want to thank you guys a lot for sticking around.
Hey, no problem. That's what,
Because you don't have to do this.
Yeah, we do.
It would just seem bad if we just left you.
It's just me all alone. Well, welcome again to the Solo Small Square Table Podcast. I haven't been up to much.
You walk up to a mirror and start offering yourself the power.
I start seeing myself in the mirror, and the mirror version of me only does Graves' voice.
Your alter ego.
And for some reason, it's got that filter that Killrod X adds on to it to make me sound like Darth Vader. I don't sound like that normally. What's going on? What's going on here?
No.
It's going to be a running gag all throughout.
Luke, do you want the cookies?
What? What are you talking about?
I kind of took them.
So now we have two memes. We have the apple crack, and now we have Extreme Star Wars. Nice.
They're combined. They go together. In the morning for breakfast, if you want to be really extreme, you got to have Star Wars Extreme coffee mug coffee and have some apple crack.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be called Extreme Apple Crack.
Oh, that's a level of extreme I'm not willing to explore right now.
I wonder what the mascot would be for that. Would it just Luke Skywalker losing his mind? Just running around the room screaming, making things float, slicing stuff up with his lightsaber. The kids are just freaking out. It's Extreme Luke Skywalker, run!
In Star Wars Extreme, Darth Vader doesn't cut off Luke's hand. He cuts him in half.
Well, I was gonna say, Luke is so extreme that he doesn't even need legs.
He's so extreme that he finishes the rest of the movie as two halves of a person. Walking around, hopping around.
They're having conversations with each other, you know. Okay, what have we been up to? I'll let you guys speak first.
Last time I mentioned I was working on the rest of Xenogears dubbed. I have the official episode count done.
You finished Xenogears dubbed? Wow.
Well, no, just the notes. Anyways, we are officially down to 11 episodes.
You even dubbed the female lines. Especially the female lines.
There are 11 episodes left in the fan dub. Everyone else has their material that they need, and if they have questions, they can ask. Other than that, it's been work and other projects. That's about it.
Since the last podcast, I have been doing live streams of doing drawing work and also
fighting crime.
Yeah, that and streaming video games. I've been playing old school video games, namely Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. Been streaming the playthrough of that, and let me tell you, I'm not good at that game at all. I died in the very first battle, which is like the demo battle. Like, I died in the first battle, so, you know, I'm not very good at it. And I'm actually stuck at the first major boss.
This sounds like it could be a Let's Play.
Only worse, because I'm really not good at the game.
It's only bad if you think it is, and if you don't mind making fun of yourself.
Yeah, I do that anyway. It, you know, it's complete with poop jokes, so
that
keeps the entertainment value up.
That is the best part. If I remember correctly, which one was Mystic Quest on? Was that on Super Nintendo?
Yep, Mystic Quest is sort of like a side episode of the series. None of them really have any continuity between each other, but Mystic Quest was sort of like the Square's taking a step back and saying, here's an intro for people who've never played RPGs before, sort of an introduction to the Final Fantasy series for people who don't have any familiarity with it.
Actually, TZM, speaking of Final Fantasy, wasn't there something else we were going to talk about tonight?
Okay, guys, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but Vagrant Story dub. I know that's why we're all here. I know that's why everyone's listening. What Kilradex is trying to do is segue us into main topic we wanted to talk about today, and that was fan dubs. Specifically, our favorites, least favorites, the failures that we've seen, and etc. like that. Person who I would say, among the three of us, who has the most experience would be our very own Kilradex, seeing as he directs and stars in his own fan dub. We've actually already spoken about how you do the editing last podcast. I did want to say that currently that's my favorite one, even though it's really the only one I watch, because I'm really lazy. I mean, at least it's not as bad as when we were doing the commentary for the episodes. It was like, okay, time to watch the episodes, you know, for the first time, because I only watched the episodes I was in, because I'm a jerk like that.
It happens to the best of everybody.
You know what's really awesome?
What?
Bite-sized birds.
They're so small, you could just bite their heads off.
No.
Gulp them down.
Don't bite their heads off. If they're bite-sized birds, you can't bite their heads off. You stick the whole thing in your mouth.
It's like popcorn chicken with wings. I knew it.
Exactly. It's the freshest popcorn chicken you can possibly eat.
Because it's still alive.
Red Bull gives you wings.
But Pyrethrus gives you birds.
And Applecrack gives you entire aviaries.
You're a KFC.
Applecrack fries the birds for you.
Look at that giant... I'm waiting for Hank Hill to go from... to...
What?
Extreme Hank Hill? What?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Bobby. Bobby. That is. That's appropriate for me. Oh my God. Every barrel of my propane explodes.
Then Grafe just appears. Do you want the
Yes!
Oh, man. Anyways, fan dubs, those are a thing. That's kind of how we all met. Do you guys want to do, like, well, I mean, it's a different perspective, I guess. But actually, I'm somewhat almost interested in telling a story of how we met suddenly, since it's still on topic.
It was back in the year of late 2008, and I had Toku Tenshi with me for my Xenogears fan dub, and This gentleman I found from a Final Fantasy VIII fandub by Video Game Nostalgia. Unfortunately, he hasn't finished his fandub, but...
It's still around. He don't hear anything from him. I've, sent my lines in for 2 episodes in advance and have not heard a thing since.
Wow.
And that was, 3 months ago. It was
Well, from what I remember contacting this, TCM Hero, or the Zelda Master Hero. My voice is changing. Anyways, and I asked this TCM guy, would you like to be in my commentary, or fandub? Yes, my fandub, but he was also in my commentary. And he said, okay, what characters am I doing? First, I had him do a very minor character, and then I had him try out for another character. It was Graf. It was a made in heaven. And from then on, he just kind of became the third wheel of the Xenogears fandub. I don't count Cousin Mizaki because, well, she just kind of disappeared. Speaking of which, she hasn't been on a YouTube account for 8 months. Anyways, so that's how TCM Hero and I met. And then came the auditions for Season 2, and then Nitro Cosm appeared with Kaiser Sigmund. Nitro Cosm, how did you become interested in Xenogears dubbed?
I was actually looking around on YouTube searching, and I was thinking, you know, Xenogears would have been a whole lot better if the characters were voiced. And then I saw a couple videos labeled Xenogears dubbed. I was like, oh, don't tell me Square actually re-released Xenogears with an official dub. And I looked, I was like, oh, it's a fan dub. Well, that's pretty cool.
And then you were like, aww.
Well, so, no, because I was so excited, because, you know, like a fan dub. Sometimes those are better than official dubs. And then I saw that there was an audition, and at first I was like, I'm a nobody, I'll never get into that. And then I was like, then I just had a weird, you know what, I'm just going to throw my hat into the ring and caution to the wind, the baby out with the bathwater, and what other, change all the tires on my car and go to Kentucky Fried Chicken for the entire weekend. No, but I tried out. I tried out for all the ones that were
available.
Yeah, and I just said, you know, I'm going to take a shot in the dark, try to do my best for each character, and maybe, just maybe, I might get one of them. And I ended up getting one of them, and it was pretty cool. I got Kaiser Sigmund, and
with the cookies,
a couple of different voices for him, and he wanted him to sound a little bit like Sean Connery. And I did a couple different variations of his voice, but I ended up the one that he ended up using was the one that was a little bit deeper.
If I remember correctly, I tried out for him too, but you got the role. So I was slightly mad.
So I got in by the skin of my teeth.
And that, my friends, is how the three of us met together in Xenogears dubbed.
I don't remember if I contacted you first, or did you contact me first? Because I remember looking around, because I was just kind of like, man, I want to try doing voice acting stuff. Hey, Final Fantasy VIII, I'll try for that. And I was doing okay in that. And then, little after that, I thought I remember trying out. You were kind of like, auditions aren't really open, but if anyone wants to try out, go ahead.
No, I think I contacted you at the time. It's
because I remember you asking me to try out for id. And you were kind of like, no.
Well, you said you wanted to,
I tried, a totally different voice than what you did with it. It seems like every character I tried out, everyone else who ended up getting those parts had totally different things in mind than I did. Like when I tried out for, Hammer, I imagined him as more of a fast-talking, sleazy kind of thing, not really hyper-peppy fast-talk. I saw him as more of a... Well, he's the supplier. He's, you know, like a sleazy kind of lawyer, fast-talking kind of character. You know what I mean? Like, you really can't trust him. And apparently that variation didn't work. But yeah, I ended up getting Graf. I was happy about that. And then I listened to your version of Graf.
Yeah. I was going to say, you almost had Jesse if it wasn't for Blackshade.
Yeah, he did a really good job, though. I couldn't get the southern accent. Actually, I was doing that in the truck on my way home. I was trying to go, could I have done a voice with a southern accent? And then I just ended up trying to do the voice he did, and I was like, well, now I'm just ripping him off. Also, every time I recorded the lines for him, I felt like I just kept shifting really close to Graf.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I could just see you banging your head on the table. Does he even know? Does he even notice?
Well, don't forget,
Graf saying Jesse's lines.
You still have Khan Wong to voice, and I don't think... Have you actually thought of a voice for him yet?
Yeah, I remember that's what I had messed up on a while back. I remember I had sent in a line for Wiseman.
Spoilers!
And you were like, yeah, I'm still Wiseman, dude. What are you doing? And I was kind of like, oh, I thought I was Wiseman. Just because you had said I was Khan, and I was like, but I thought that, okay.
What are your guys' favorite fan dubs other than the ones that you're in?
Yeah, go ahead, TZ. I'll let you go first.
Well, not to reach, you know, so ungodly far out that, you know, people we've never heard of before or anything. I really like Toku's Abridge series, the Wedding Peach Abridge one.
Yep.
Because I think that counts as a fandom. I mean, if we're going to go abridged, I mean, of course you got to be like, oh, well, geez, I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, Dragon Ball Z abridged. Those are, like, the greats.
Well, it's a bridge. Everybody likes a bridge. My mother made a bridge. You know, it's just a bridge.
It's a bridge! We've built bridges before, right? I did it out of sticks! It wasn't even hard!
But yeah, I really like hers just because... She seems to do a really good job with it.
You know, I'm going to have to agree. I think my favorites are the same. I like The Wedding Peach Abridged, and I like Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. Those are my two favorites. The two that I've seen on YouTube that I thought were really good.
Yeah, right. And the ones I think basically have the best mixing of everything. And I know we're going fan dubs into Abridged, but I think Dragon Ball Z Abridged probably got the best editing of them all. The quality is really high.
I haven't really seen enough of that to make a judgment on it, but from what I've seen, I really liked it. I think they did a very professional-sounding job on it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Weren't you, Kilroidex, weren't you supposed to be in kind of like something similar at one point or another, and that fell through? I remember you being Vegeta.
Yeah, there was a group who was kind of doing a parody off of Team Four Star, and they just kind of... Oh, we're going to continue. Can you send in your lines? And I think they're dead. I think. I don't know. But, well, going on to favorite abridge, let's say Team 4 Star Dragon Ball Z abridge, Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridge, Big O abridge. There's three different versions, but there's one that's actually really good. Sailor Moon abridged. I've seen, I think, K-On! Abridged. It's by just five guys. That's pretty good. We've already gone over Wedding Peach abridged. Very good. G Gundam Abridge, hopefully they finish again soon. Basically, there are a lot of Abridge series I like.
I'm wondering when there's gonna be a Xenogears Abridged.
That game is so serious, you can't abridge it.
Oh, that's all the more reason to abridge it.
Okay, I'll make sure it sound incredibly terrible.
I almost want to do, like, a fake video, like an extras for that.
Xenogears Extreme.
Oh, no.
They don't talk, they just scream.
They're all on fire, constantly.
Constantly.
The Eldritch doesn't crash. The Eldritch destroys the entire planet, and the entire story takes place in an asteroid field because the planet was destroyed by the Eldritch. Don't even get me started on Choo Choo Extreme.
Hey, she died for your sins, okay?
I was like, I don't get it, and he's like, but they're on crosses, and I was like, oh, I get it, it's funny, because of religion.
They crucified a furry. Ain't that right?
A furry.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to meet him. He's going to be at Anime Expo this next week, and I'm heading there.
Good for you. He was at Anime Next.
The guy that voices Joey in Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged?
Nope. Well, yeah, he does all the voices in Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. Well, season 1 and 2.
He doesn't want to be a fiery.
Yeah, it's funny if you go back and listen to, like, the first episode, how the voices have changed. I mean... Joey especially.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Yugi basically sounds the same. Yami sounds totally different. Joey sounds totally different. And that's about it. But still, it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, as you grow older, your voice slightly changes as well.
Well, yeah, but also it's kind of like you listen to, say, I don't know if either one of you remember the original Power Rangers, but the character Goldar, in the first couple episodes, his voice was totally different. It's the same voice actor, it's just he kind of found... I listened to, actually, a conversation with him, and they were like, oh, why did the voice change? And he said, well, the first few episodes were done as just kind of like a pilot sort of thing. So the voice sounded really different, and then he realized he couldn't maintain that voice. So he just had to find a comfortable spot that he would be able to maintain that kind of voice, you know? like how I'm going to have to figure out how to maintain the Grave voice for a long period of time if I'm going to be speaking anything long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it goes for any type of voice acting or live action things when you're voicing a villain or a character. You kind of want to try to find that sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I remember I talked to you about how I was like, hey, I'm trying to think of a new way to do Grave's voice, and I eventually was kind of like, okay, this voice might sound okay, and then I recorded myself and then listened to it, and I was like, oh, that doesn't record well. Because, I mean, you can come up with the best voice in the world, but if it doesn't record well, what's it matter? You know what I mean? It's like how, it's the same thing with models. You can have someone who looks beautiful as can be, but for some reason you just can't take a good picture of her, then it's not going to matter. You know what I mean? One of the things I did want to say was the fact that we do have a lot of fan dubs we really enjoy, but there's also a couple that are kind of lackluster. I can't think of any off the top of my head, because I'm more towards, okay, ones that never actually got started, or never, like, the ones that got casted and then didn't start. The Legend of Dragoon. And... Yeah. Well, and, I mean, it wasn't just Legend of Dragoon with me. There was another one where I was doing I was in one, and it ended just because the director decided that she wanted to do AMVs now, which, that's irritating as can be.
This is actually one topic I do like, because I'm a cynic.
Uh-oh. Yes. Should we take the straitjacket off and let KRideX go, Nitro?
KRideX, how many bowls of apple crack did you have for breakfast?
One, I swear. And a quarter.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I think we can take off the straitjacket.
Yay! Yippee!
All right. Should I rant about the LOD fandom that never started?
Oh, this is going to be a fun rant. Well.
Okay.
Do you want to tell it, or should I? Should we both co-tell it, or what?
Maybe take turns, but... Actually, I wish Popfly was here, because he also auditioned for it. Too bad.
Oh, yeah.
For the record, that was our special guest, Shifty Eyes.
Yeah.
But, yes, about that LOD fan dub. Okay, I remember one of the Video Game Nostalgia's cast members wanted to do a fan dub of Legend of Dragoon. I'm like, I did play LOD for a while. I only got maybe the second disc. So I figured, alright, I'll just try out for certain characters. I got the voice of Albert, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Albert doesn't even pop in until, like, the third disc. So,
yeah.
Even though you had the voice, even if it had started going, you probably wouldn't even be doing the voice yet.
Not for a while. But, yeah, she got a full cast and some minor roles done, and it's like, oh, we're going to get ready to go, get ready, we found somebody to use the footage, and then 2 months later, no news. Then in February, it's like, hey, everybody, kind of having some computer issues, but I'm going to get the LD fan dub ready in a month or two. Can I just ask everyone to resend me their lines, please? Okay, resend their lines, no problem. And then nothing heard from the director at all. And quite frankly, I've been going to her YouTube channel just to see if there's any updates. She's been doing nothing but posting AMVs regarding Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy and experimenting with Sony Vegas. Nothing about LOD whatsoever. As a matter of fact, she made a Twitter page and she hasn't updated that since November, so... It just really kind of annoys me, and also I've auditioned for other fan dubs and that one Abridged series, and on my YouTube channel they're all either in production or dead hiatus. And recently I've been asked, hey, do you want to audition for a project that I'm doing? I'm with a group, blah, blah, blah. And I've kind of had to turn down because, quite frankly, I'm getting sick and tired of auditioning for fan dubs that never even get past beta.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that, too, though. I mean, should we tell the infamous story of the Kamen Rider fan dub?
I'll let you explain about Kamen Rider Kiva and if you want Vagrant Story if we haven't gone over it.
Well, I'm still interested in doing Vagrant Story, just because I know it'd be a lot easier to do than Kiva. I still gotta find footage. That's the hard part. But the Kamen Rider Kiva thing was basically... I had recently just kind of... Not recently, this is 2008. I had just started doing fan dubs, and I had already met KRideX here through the Vagrant Story fandom. We hadn't started talking to each other yet, really, but I had been getting into Kamen Rider, which is a series in Japan. And the current series that was airing was Kamen Rider Kiva. And I was like, man, this final battle part, this is so cool. I want to dub this. So I sent Kirodex a message saying, hey, could you just try voicing a bunch of these characters? I want to do this character, but you can try out for him if you want. So he voiced the main character of the show, Wataru, which I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. At least I'm not going super American and be like, Wataru! And then Kivat, the black one. And then the little dragon thing, wake up, Fiva! Yeah, that was funny to listen to, especially since I had spoken to someone else. I can't think of her name, but she tried out for that character too, and it was the best thing in the world to listen to. It was just hearing a girl saying that over and over is hilarious for some reason. But that's besides the point. Anyways, I never got finished with it. I had actually started mixing that dialogue in, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna try to do the voice for this character," which the character is the father of the character Kilrodex is going to be playing. His name is Otoya, and he's my favorite character in the series. And I started doing his lines and realized I didn't feel like I was giving him justice with the voice I was trying to do for him, and eventually just stopped trying.
I remember you wanted me to voice him, it's like, well, okay, can you voice him as well? I'm like, no, I don't want to voice all the male characters in this because it's your type of fandub, and I kind of said, just do his voice, just try.
I kept begging you, and then I was like, and then the infamous, you know, you kind of gave Wataru a British accent.
A.K.A. the Curse of Fei Fong Wong from my fandom.
Whoopsie! And that is when you... that is when you sent me your replacement lines with the British accent all throughout.
Do you still have that sample?
That's what I was kind of like, okay, this guy's kind of cool.
I was going to say, I still have all the old recordings that you had me do for the Kiva fandub clip. Oh yes, I still have them.
You know, for the Vagrant Story dub thing, I had we'd done a clip on that as well, which very similarly, I was just, well, this is actually much further along. We had actually become somewhat friends by then. We were recording the Xenogears commentaries by the time I said, "Hey, could you just decide, just try out for anyone in this and just dub over it your best shot of a clip from the game." Vagrant Story, because it was kind of just like a proof of concept thing, like, couldn't this be dubbed? And I sent it to Kirodex here, and he gave me back one of the best dubbing things I've ever done, listened to. I was just sitting there amazed. And what's funny is the voice you gave Sydney is, I wasn't exactly mimicking, but it gave me the direction I went with.
Right.
So, I remember first you starting talking as that character, and I was going, oh, I don't like, and then you laughed, and I was like, oh, this is, oh, okay. Like, suddenly I was on board for some reason, I was like, oh, yes, oh, okay. And then I remember you asking me if I had synthesized my voice to do that deep voice for that one character.
I can't remember his name, but I was like, you should definitely keep that voice that you did. It was really good.
It was like completely out of nowhere. I was just kind of like, should I, okay, Sydney. And that was it.
But still, it was epic from my point of view. I really liked it.
I really liked voicing Sydney. I thought that was probably one of my favorite roles I've ever done on anything. Just because I love playing evil bad guys, and it let me just kind of let loose. It made me sad that I edited out your version of Sydney, though. I should have posted your version originally, and
nah,
then
that's
dead
all
my
right.
version as well. But you did a really good job as, and I've already, if I eventually do it, I've already casted you as Ashley Riot, so possibly, if I eventually do it.
Well, I'm sure if you have everything set up, then hopefully, if we're still available and around, then, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, in 20 years, when I actually get around to doing it...
I have a question for you. If not most, if not all, of the fan dubs that you guys are probably familiar with and that we talk about, they're fan dubs of Japanese shows that are in Japanese. I was wondering if there are any abridged series of Western originating animation that was originally in English.
I've seen a Teen Titans abridged.
Okay, because I had an idea. Do you remember the old show done by Bill Cosby called Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I was wondering if it might be possible to put together a project, Fat Albert Abridged Extreme.
Extreme. I approve of this.
Hey, guys, it's morbidly obese Albert.
What are you talking about, Fat Albert?
You have to make it politically correct.
What are you talking about, Fat Albert?
It's morbidly obese Albert.
Is he zombified now?
Can't even speak.
Don't you bring... Give me my shovel of food.
I wonder if Applecrack, if they would, if the gift in the box, the toy in the box, if it was the power...
Nah, Applecrack is so hardcore that the prize in the box is a pack of smokes.
You're just crunching and munching, baby.
It comes with Ritalin.
Oh, dear. I approve of this, I think.
Nah, the best prize in the cereal box is a dead rat.
Oh. I saw a picture. It was like a loaf of bread with a rat inside. It was like, oh, like it had gotten into the processor or whatever.
I thought it was a big raisin. I thought it was raisin bread. I ate the thing, and I was like, this doesn't taste like a raisin.
That must have been a big raisin.
This raisin's got a tail. And ears.
This raisin's got bones in it. Usually they take the bones out of raisins before they put it in cereal.
I know.
Likewise in the bread. Bread has bones.
Mm. Oh, that poor bread. But yeah, there's plenty of, going back on topic, there's plenty of fandubs that have really just kind of... To me, I don't mean to bring him up again, but since the YouTube account is no longer around, 17Hole16... I feel like there's a lot of people around his age that are like, oh man, I want to do a fan dub. And then they get into something, and then they get it started, and then they lose interest because they're young. And it's like, oh well, I want to do something else now.
Or they just disappear off the face of the earth.
Or suddenly it's like, oh man, I've got responsibilities now because of this fan dub. I can't handle it, so I'm going to quit and just disappear.
Yeah, I've noticed that tends to happen.
Because I've had that happen too. And then I was saddled with the responsibilities of being the director of a fan dub suddenly. And then that fell apart because I couldn't find footage.
Well, actually, speaking of starting up projects and managing them, I don't know if you guys have heard about the 2214 animation thing that I'm trying to do.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
I'm just kind of slow in development.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, I'm looking for people to voice the characters. The problem is I don't really have the animation version of 2214, any of this stuff scripted yet. And the reason why is because I don't want to invest too much time into writing a script if I can't find enough people to voice the characters, or if the people that I find to voice the characters flake out and no TZM. I'm not talking about you. But, like you guys have experienced, I don't want to have to go through that with my project.
It's... Okay, I'm going to... kind of chime in here. It's really hard to find at first people who are going to stick with you, and then people are just going to maybe stick around for maybe a week or two, and then they're going to be all, okay, I'm going to kind of ignore you because I just don't really feel like handing in mine sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of people flake out really fast. I mean, some people will stay on for a long time and then flake out. Like, you've got the, like, Nitro, mm-hmm. not Nitro, Video Game Nostalgia. Like, I have no clue what's going on with him. That dub has gone on for 30 episodes, and now I haven't heard anything from him, you know?
Well, he probably is either busy with college or he's having computer issues. Because I remember on his YouTube account, one of his cast members who voices Squall said that he's going to be unavailable for a while because I guess he was having computer problems. I guess he was trying to get a Mac or something.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, see, that's what I get for
yeah
just speaking without knowing stuff. which it's funny going back to the old comments for the first episodes I was in, because there was a lot of them were like, oh my gosh, this person who voiced Cypher, they did a good job. And then I found the one grounding comment that was the best thing for me, I thought, because I was already starting to get a big head. I was like, oh man, these people, they really like me voicing Cypher. Oh man, I must have done a good job. And then there was a comment in one of the episodes where someone just did a little string of the time tag kind of thing, like, you know, between 1 minute and 1 minute 30 seconds or whatever. And they said, seriously, the worst voice acting ever. And it was me. And I listened to it and I agreed. Because it was... It was me trying to yell and not understanding that you can't yell into a microphone without it crackling out on you. So then I was trying to hold back but also sound like I was yelling.
A lot of that, though, is a technical issue. But, you know, they could have been a little more constructive with their criticism.
Well, yeah, and I agree, but I also agreed with them because it sounded bad. Like, I wasn't doing very good voice acting as well. Like, the line was, hey, Galbanian soldiers, don't hold back or something like that. Don't let me down now or something. And then Cypher yelling that, and it just came across really bad. Like, I listened to it and cringed. I was like, I actually sent this to the guy? So, that really helped me a lot for some reason. I haven't checked if anyone's been like, man, that Grave person, whoever does that, they suck.
I've had my fair share of people leaving non-intellectual feedback that I've kind of deleted over the time. It's like, oh, you sound like such and such, you're terrible, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, how can I improve it? Should I lower my voice? Should I use a modifier? Should I keep my mouth away from it? You know,
or should we make funny comics about them?
This was way before the person decided to make that video response to the first episode. You start out somewhere, right? But, yeah, I've kind of blocked 6 to 7 people who are just kind of 4chan trollers.
Yeah.
Thankfully, my stuff hasn't appeared on their boards.
Yeah, YouTube commenters can be some of the worst.
They can also be the most stupid without reading their information. Nitro, I'm sure you've had plenty of people insult you for your stuff in the past.
Absolutely.
Do you want to share, even though it's not really fandub-related?
Oh, sure, yeah, I don't mind.
Go for it.
As long as the audience doesn't mind. Little-known fact, it used to be viralide.com. V-I-R-U-L-Y-D-E, which is now just a domain poacher site. We had a lot of trolls in the original forums on there, and we had a person who I had promoted to be the main moderator in there so that I didn't have to do it. Well, she turned against me and turned pretty much everyone else in the forum against me, citing that I couldn't handle criticism and was basically able to stir up people into a rage. And that, actually, one thing led to another, and that led to the demise of that site, but then it came back as nitrocosm.com a little bit later. But most of the trolling on there was just people either being stupid, not necessarily criticizing me in a bad way. A lot of the criticism that I did get, though, was not constructive. After a while, though, after having some really harsh criticism, not only through my forums, but from Megatokyo's forums and some other places, I kind of learned to just take it, you know? But it took a while. It took a long time to get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard taking criticism sometimes, just because... sometimes people just don't give it constructive, and I know that that's kind of bad to jump into, because you can't always ask for constructive criticism. You're always going to have someone be like, man, that was crap, you don't know what you're doing, you know? But it seems like for everyone that does that, there's at least one or two people that go, hey, you know what, if you had changed the tone of your voice, or if you had drawn this picture a little better, if you had done the proportions a little better, that would be a grade A picture, and I would like it a lot better. Which, that helps a lot, even though it's still criticizing.
But it's constructive, and they're telling you how it should be done properly to help you improve.
Yeah.
Right, and it takes more effort to leave constructive criticism, and I think most people just want to leave a snide comment and just kind of sort of a drive-by thing.
Mm-hmm. Attention-seeking.
Yeah. Sad but true, sad but true.
Well, actually, It's kind of a good thing people do leave idiotic comments, because it kind of helps build up your confidence. It's like, you know, this is just stupid, and they're just wasting their time. Delete. Block user.
Well, that and over enough time, if you get enough abuse, it just rolls off your back. You know, you don't worry about it, and it doesn't bother you as much. And it's almost a trial by fire type of thing. You have to be really beaten down before you can have a thick skin about things.
Yeah, right. And that's a sad but true fact. It's like I said before, like the person saying I did a really bad job, I listened to it and said, you know what, I think I've improved since then. So I'm kind of going, I'm glad that I've improved. I'm glad I have learned before I even heard this comment, you know. But I hadn't improved enough that I did allow it to kind of get me before, where everyone was kind of like, oh man, that Cypher, whoever's doing him is doing a really good job. Oh man. And I was sitting there going, yeah, thank you. I know I did, you know. So
that's the other thing about it, though, is sometimes you need to be criticized harshly, even unfairly, just so you don't get too cocky about your own work, even if it is good. You don't want to go around thinking you're good all the time, because if you do, then you'll never improve.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and I did the same thing when I was young, where I had a teacher basically tell me, you scored high enough on this test that you should be getting all A's, you're really intelligent. So I went around thinking I was super intelligent and was just kind of goofing off and didn't do my work, and then I was surprised because I wasn't getting good grades, and I'm like, wait a second, they said I was super intelligent, why am I not getting good grades? And they're like, well, you're not putting any effort into it. So,
I had a teacher do that to me once.
Yeah. And also, going back to constructive criticism, sometimes a little too much constructive criticism is bad. Like, if someone suggests what could be done to improve, then it's like, well, now you're kind of tilting it towards your way, not my way.
Yeah. Right. Control freakery. I had one of those people on DeviantArt.
Well, and it's like, I never wanted to do that. Like, remember KillRedX, you were asking how I thought I could improve some of the stuff on, when we were doing a commentary, it was kind of like, hey, how do you think improve, like, say, phase voice specifically? And I was like, oh, well, it sounds like you kind of do them all in a row, and you ended up changing it, probably not in comparison from what me saying that, but don't you do his individually now, or do you everyone's individually now?
I think after kind of listening to the voice, after people have been kind of saying, well, phase a mixture of Bart and Satan, sometimes you fluctuate between Satan and phase voice during certain conversations, so I kind of figured, you know what, if I do phase voice individually, it would sound better, and I think it actually works. Actually, now I do everybody's lines separately, I don't do them in one shot anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've all kind of gotten slightly more professional as we've gone. I mean, I've just recently kind of graduated from the do it all in one line and send it as one giant recording thing.
Right.
So, because I know I'm guilty of that, a.k.a. sounding like Billy is going crazy.
Bishop's down. Actually, someone did leave a comment for my invoice sample, which is still the highest one. And the reason I left it up there was he pointed out, he notices I slur a little bit when I do my recording. Like, I talk really fast. And it's actually true, because I was recording something for somebody and I realized, wow, I say this stuff way too fast. Maybe I should slow down.
Yeah, well, and I noticed I have a tendency to do that, especially if I'm not reading off of the actual footage. If I'm using just if I'm just using the script, sometimes it's really hard to time it. And another thing I've noticed is I gotta do a lot more editing on my work before I send it to you, because I got so aggravated when I was hearing myself breathing into the microphone. Like, every time Billy had a line, you would hear about a second before and after. Okay, I'm Billy now. You know. And
yeah, the breathing.
Yeah, and that just drove me crazy, just my own criticism. So I'm going to have to try to either get better noise blocking, or edit that out manually before I send it to you. Just because,
well, if you have a really good, if you get a stand with your condenser microphone, just get a pop filter. That usually helps.
I always have I have like a mini pop filter on it, but it's just kind of like a styrofoam filter. which helps, but it doesn't. It's not like a professional pop filter in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It was like one of those microphone froze.
Microphone?
A microphone.
My microphone's got an afro. Yeah.
Actually, since you just brought that up, I actually took one of my old Xbox 360 headsets and took the styrofoam and put it on my headsets. This way it kind of tones down the crackling and the popping people hear, which I think helps a lot.
Doesn't sound like Rice Krispies.
Exactly, no snap, crackle, and pop. But actually, TZM, I think I still have the link on YouTube. Basically, it shows you how you can make a very cheap microphone pop filter for like $10, and it still sounds pretty good.
Hmm.
It's just a lot of...
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's just basically buying cheap stuff from either a dollar store or Walmart, and you just get your own tools and go to work. I think I sent it to you once, Nitro. I don't remember. Yeah.
Pardon me, sir. Would you care to donate some cookies to the Melchior Fund? I'm getting quite old, and I can't really breathe the air around here.
You look like a whack-a-mole. Quick, somebody fetch me my mallet. There's a whack-a-mole game standing at my doorway.
I have no clue what you're referencing, but it is funny because it is jokes.
Tora Melchior after Xenogears.
If we had Metal Gear in Xenogears, it would be awesome. Just have Solid Snake pop up, and he's just completely confused. He's like, why is there so many Metal Gears? What's going on here? You know? Solid Snake is constantly super tense. Did you ever notice that? Like, how David Hayter does his voice, it sounds like he's constantly, like, paranoid beyond anything. E3, that was something that happened. Yeah, a lot of video game stuff happens once a year. The Electronic Entertainment Expo, and basically all the big video game companies get together and be like, this is what we're doing. And a lot of times they'll come out with like new stuff that hasn't been revealed yet, even though people who are actually in the know find lists on what they're planning to put out a couple days in advance, so they do know. But it's usually when, like, say, they released information for the new Zelda, Nintendo did, which is kind of cool for me. Beyond that, there was a lot of information on Microsoft changed the name of their motion control from...
All I know is there's something about Kinect or whatever.
Yeah, it's called, like, the Kinect now, like, and it's spelled funky, like it's supposed to be kinetic. But they took the N out. And I'm like, they think they're clever.
When you move the slim Xbox 360 with a disc inside, don't do it. It'll cause a giant ring scratch.
Yeah. Well, and that happens with the normal 360 as well. My brother found that out the hard way. He was playing Sonic the Hedgehog, and he accidentally knocked the 360 over just after we got it. And suddenly there was a ring scratch on the game.
That sounds like a deal-breaker design flaw.
Well, I would think any video game system, if you knock the thing over while it's playing, it's going to scratch the disc. It's like if you just take your laptop and punt it while you're watching a movie on it.
Take that, Watchmen!
What your brother just did definitely deserves a wah-wah-wah sound effect. Right, Nitro? Yes. Well, TZM, since you brought up about E3, did you see anything that piqued your interest? Because I didn't watch E3 at all.
Like I said, Kinect was kind of Kinect, and Sony's going, hey, they have a motion controls thing. Let's rip them off and literally make the Wiimote controller add a pink ball on the end, and we've got our controller. Oh, and make it black, because it can't look too much like a Wiimote. And they came out with their motion Wiimove or something like that. I don't remember what it was called, but it's really sad to see, because it looks like a Wii knockoff. I mean, if you've seen it, it is the exact same thing.
Oh, Sony, will you ever stop trying to rip other people off?
You know, speaking of relatively new tech, I've noticed a trend for movie theaters to show movies in 3D.
Avatar.
And, yeah, and I was thinking about, you know, they show that in 3D. Now, computers are powerful enough to have display cards with dual display built in. Now, I'm sure they have the goggles out there somewhere, but goggles, stereo display goggles, where you have a monitor for each eye. Wouldn't that be really nice to have for an immersive gaming experience? And they probably have experimented with this, but it just hasn't caught on for whatever reason.
You know, I think I saw something on that at one of the trade show thingies they showed on G4 back when they stopped running cops and cheaters constantly. They actually showed something like that where it was like the goggles with that. It was like their original idea of how they were going to do 3D by just offsetting the image slightly on one mm-hmm. side to the other. And your eyes would put it together right. And it would be basically immersive 3D because it would be right by your eyes. And they were saying it was really cool.
And I'd imagine, you know, if you've got your display card powerful enough to where it's rendering two different mm-hmm. viewports on your 3D scene to where it's actually spacing the cameras apart, the distance of the eye, so you're getting true 3D yeah. representation there, exactly as your eyes would see 3D in real life.
Well, and one of the interesting... I have no interest in 3D, like, gaming, basically whatsoever, because Sony, after they were like, oh yeah, the Sony Move stuff, you know, which you would have to buy a new controller for and buy a camera for, you know, spending somewhere around $200 on top of that, you're... you know, already horribly priced PlayStation 3. They were also pushing this 3D thing where you would have to get the 3D glasses and buy a 3D TV, and then you'd be able to play some games that have 3D built into them already on the Sony thing. So you don't have to pay extra for that, but still, it's like they're really pushing the whole 3D gaming, and I have no interest in that. I mean, sure, for a gimmick, if it was, like, one or two games, I'd kind of like, okay, that's kind of cool, whatever, and forget it. But to me, the whole 3D thing should just stay in theaters, especially since 3D theater, the whole idea for that is basically something you can't have at home.
Exactly. Something to get people in the theaters rather than sitting at home all the time.
I do have a random but kind of serious thinking question.
Okay, go ahead.
What happens when eventually it gets to that point where 3D, high-definition Blu-ray is so outdated that they can't think of anything else to keep people's interest? Like, what comes after getting to the point where you watch something that's so lifelike?
Yeah, when it eventually gets to be... when it eventually becomes a holodeck.
That is completely indistinguishable. Maybe society as a whole will actually move beyond entertainment and start looking at ways to do amazing things in the real world. But yeah, I think at some point society is going to get away from their obsession with entertainment. Because it seems like we put an awful lot of our technology and effort into simulations right now, which is good. But at some point, we ought to start looking at how to manipulate space-time. Heck, we might even be able to figure out the time travel thing if we work at it hard enough.
They're going to eventually figure out something past the light travel, which light speed in itself is already basically an impossibility just because of how it's going to affect your body. But once they can get past that tiny little detail, then the whole world's going to be open to you. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and the Earth's not going to be around forever, and you know we eventually have to build mm-hmm. the Eldridge.
And then we have to put a living biological weapon that can consume planets and spaceships and throw tentacles at you. We need to start on that soon.
Yeah, we're going to be running out of time. We don't start
on
that soon.
Yeah, and I'm going to be the captain.
I think we should start harvesting an energy source from the planet. I've already dubbed the idea of it called the Life Stream. And I really think these maker reactors are going to be just the next step.
But then, somewhere in Africa, a guy is on an excavation, and he digs up a giant gold Hershey bar. And then you realize that if you touch that gold Hershey bar, you are going to disappear. But then you realize it's the source of all power in the universe.
One of the things that made me laugh super hard is I was watching the Sony press conference thingy they do. And it was literally like, I mean, every year they have something from Square. Like, they're like, and more stuff of Final Fantasy 13, you know. And this year it was literally a trailer for 14, which has already been out. Information on it, and a trailer. And that was it. There was nothing else. There was no Final Fantasy 15, there was no information on another Kingdom Hearts, there was no nothing. It was like, oh, here's something those kooky Japanese people from Square have come up with. Show the trailer. Okay, we're done. No thing.
Do you think, you know, since they've had so many Final Fantasies released, do you think they're getting to the point where they're about quantity over quality?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I really liked 10. 12 went into a totally different direction story-wise and gameplay-wise. And 13 felt like they just tried to streamline the whole thing to make it a lot easier for people to play. And then that idea, I wouldn't say it failed, but I'd say it wasn't the right direction to go.
Maybe it's sort of like Mystic Quest for the current generation.
Well, funny story about Mystic Quest is it's not really a Final Fantasy.
12 was just basically Final Fantasy 11 offline and kind of like a step up for 13 in terms of, you know, the free roaming and all that. Not really.
Yeah, it's like they went, okay, let's do free roaming. All right, but 13's not going to have free roaming. Let's just shove all of the free roaming that would have been in 13 into 12, so you've got twice as much free roaming.
And right.
It was mind-bogglingly free roaming. I mean, it was basically the offline online game. Because that's all you do in MMORPGs, basically.
What was it? After I played a little bit of 12, mm-hmm. I just lost interest in the Final Fantasy series. I heard 13 came out, and I didn't want to play it at all.
13, I was getting into the story of it, but when I didn't get a chance to play it much. But when I was 7 hours into it before I had clocked 7 hours into it before I was bringing it back to Blockbuster, because I still rent games the old-fashioned way.
Hey, I don't blame you.
I had just barely gotten the ability to level up, and I had still not had the ability to choose my own party, and the story was still confusing as all heck. Because eventually you get to a point where it kind of plateaus out, and either they just explain everything to you, or you figure it out. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. Did you just say you were playing for the first 7 hours, and you didn't get a chance to level up at all? Did I hear that right?
Basically, yeah. And you don't get to choose who your party leader is, either. It's all story-based. All
right, you know what? That gives me another reason not to play 13. Thank you. No, I'm not going to... Xenosaga was kind of enough. 13 is just kind of killing it.
Well, and they try to make it like this whole story-based thing of like, oh yeah, they've been all changed and chosen by these god thingies to do something, so that's when they suddenly have the ability to level up, which is basically the equivalent of a 3D version of the sphere grid from 10, which still, 10 was the last good Final Fantasy for me. 12 was so-so, but I couldn't play it much, because the characters bored me to tears, and the story was not something I liked, and the gameplay was not fun.
Well, let's just say 12 put me to... almost put me to sleep.
The story was nothing! Oh, they were so bland.
Regarding the Final Fantasy series, in my opinion, 7 was the last one that I really liked.
I have to say 9 was pretty fun, too.
Yeah, I've never played 9.
It had all the charm 8 was lacking for me, really. 8 was such a step up from 7, but you look at 8 now and you go, wow, they look like dolls. Where 7, they still had the kind of like, don't look at the knees, don't look at the knees! Because even when they were in Cinema Scene, it was like their knees were all, it was like just pixels mashing against pixels.
Yeah, the graphics in Final Fantasy 7 were terrible.
But it did not stop fans from liking this series.
I like pie.
You're just saying completely unrelated things. Kittens are fluffy. Final Fantasy VII had an interesting story. Sephiroth scares me. I like the moon.
My synopsis of Final Fantasy VII. A guy with blonde hair chases after a depressing guy who killed his girlfriend and tries to save the world.
One of the things I did like about 7 was the story they implied after the game came out. Because, I mean, you kind of had the whole, okay, I'm Cloud, I have a sword, I fight Cactuars when I am bored.
Sorry, reference to the Cloud song, I love that thing.
I've never heard that, but it sounds like something I need to listen
to
right now.
My name is Cloud! I have a sword. When you listen to cute little girls singing about Final Fantasy, it suddenly makes it great. And do it to Flash cartoons. Wow, that sounded pedophile. Anyways.
Oh!
But The implied storyline afterwards from 7, especially since I've been playing still Crisis Core story was much better than 7 alone, but they really build on each other and it helps. Just for me, the whole idea that Cloud was never meant to be a hero. He was just kind of a guy who was there at the wrong place at the wrong time and sort of kind of got the hero mantle afterwards because he was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an awesome idea for me, where instead of you got 8, where it's like, yeah, Squall, you're the leader, but I don't want to be the leader. You're the leader. Aww. You know?
Yes.
You know the thing about Final Fantasy VIII is it reminds me of the Twilight series.
They don't sparkle and they're not vampires.
But it was emo. And it was emo like Twilight was.
But Zell isn't emo. Zell is like, I am on crack customer.
Since you just brought up Twilight, I was walking out of work and there's a movie theater next to us. Hey, I work in a mall. And I think today was their Twilight triple feature where you watch all 3 Twilight movies. And the tweens were coming off the bus and they were gathering around the theater and I'm like, oh my god, it started.
I was hoping to get off work before this began. Oh god.
You can buy repellent for that. I have some goth repellent. I have some goth spray. I have emo spray.
It's pictures of fluffy bunnies.
And I think if you combine the two, it repels tweens.
Yeah, it definitely explained why I saw a crap load of teenagers walking around the mall.
And then that one 40-year-old fat guy just kind of walking in. He's like, don't mind me.
He sounds like my audition for Jesse. He's like,
hey, Larmont, you look real like Jeff my van. I got candy. Jesse, you were up. I can't reach back there. You were white, my boy. I can use a gun. Billy, okay. Shoot me out of the gun.
Oh, okay.
Shoot me.
Okay. Oh. Jesse just gets really, really insistent. Well, one of the things I heard about Twilight, and I don't care for Twilight, I never read the books, I never watched the movies, but I tried to explain to one of my friends that I don't like the whole idea that they're basically taking something, it's much kind of like Harry Potter was, where suddenly Hollywood goes, wait a second, this is a fad that kids are into, we need to hop onto this while the iron is still hot, and we need to make product for them to flock after, because they really like these books, so let's make movies, and these kids will just throw us their money, and that's what's happening. They're basically taking advantage of these teenage girls that really like these books and putting, you know, hot guys on the screen for them to drool over, and they're just raking in the dough.
Well, technically, Edward isn't exactly attractive material, but then you got the wolf guy, I don't remember his name, that kind of seals the deal here, but I'm
with, like, 99 abs.
Yes.
That doesn't own a shirt.
Actually, what does kind of worry me, though, is the type of influence this is going to have on girls, because it's like, if Bella does this, and Jesus is okay, maybe I find it okay, too. It's like, you want some creepy stalker guy to follow you around? Do you want him to take advantage of you on those type of... And it's like, this is what girls want to see on the screen, and yeah, it's okay, but still, it kind of gives me the worst type of image here.
Well, I remember someone describing it as they enjoy it just because it's something for teenage girls to go crazy for. In the 70s and 60s, it was the Beatles. Now it's Twilight. You know what I mean?
At least the Beatles had good music. Twilight doesn't exactly have anything worth going for it.
Yeah.
Except it's got furries.
It's got furries. Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference.
Twilight's funny because they think they're clever. They're like, oh, I get it. It's different phases of the moon.
I got some different phases of the moon for you, boy. Take a look at my butt. My different phases of the moon, yeah. I got a shotgun. You want to look down the barrel? Okay, put your lips there. Blue moon. I shot you. I'm sorry about that.
I was going to say, aside from games, did you see any really cool gadgets, any cool mobile devices or cameras or anything like that?
Why'd you say aside from games? It's a game, but it's still, you're able to do other things with it. The 3DS seemed pretty cool.
Yeah.
It took what I had already said before about how I didn't like 3D in gaming. Well, that's mostly because I don't like glasses, because I'm wearing glasses, and it goes into that whole Pimp My Ride joke of, hey, I heard you like wearing glasses, so I got you glasses for your glasses, so you can look through your glasses while you're looking through your glasses. Yeah, the 3DS looked interesting. The reason I bring it up, even though you said besides games, the fact that they mentioned, yeah, they're going to have 3D movies on it as well, and you don't need glasses to do the 3D. So, it's going to be able to play movies, and it'll be 3D, which would be cool, without glasses. And you can adjust how 3D it is. You can completely turn off the 3D if you want to.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing about LCD screens, is they can set that up to where it's layered, or something. They do something to where each eye sees, you know, a different version of the picture. And you have, I think you have to be standing right in front of the monitor for it to work, but with a DS, it's going to be right in front of you anyway.
But then they were like, hey, we're going to re-release Ocarina of Time. You know, again, it's like the Zelda version of Final Fantasy VII, you know, the one that everyone fell in love with and they've been chasing after that dragon ever since. And I loved Ocarina of Time. It was my favorite Zelda game, but I don't think I will buy it again.
You know, I will not buy a PlayStation 3.
And why is that?
Because it's too expensive, and Sony, with the DRM stuff that they've done in the past... If there's a game that's sufficiently good enough, I might consider it. But I've been kind of boycotting Sony for a long time because of the DRM fiasco, with the exception of a video camera. I have to admit, I did buy a Sony video camera after I got mad at them for the DRM, but that's it.
Yeah.
But I just have a PlayStation 2, that's all.
Well, especially since I've got a... Well, I mean, I loved the PS2. I mean, the PS2 was great. They still occasionally come out with a good game for it. I mean, they came out with Persona 3 and Persona 4 basically after the original lifetime for the system was over. I mean, it's not like Microsoft and Nintendo when they literally come out with a new system and it's like they just forgot the last system they had existed. I mean, it was like, oh yeah, the GameCube came out. What do you mean N64? What's that thing? Why do you keep talking about that?
Speaking of which, I still have to get a hard drive for my PS2 so this way I can play other games that I can't find anymore. Because I still have my old first-gen PS2.
Yeah, that's what I have. I have the first-generation PS2, and I've had it since forever.
I have a first-gen as well. I hope it doesn't die on me eventually, because then I'd be like, okay, I gotta find a PS2 Slim.
Or you can find a used fat PS2. Good luck with that.
Back to E3, Nintendo, besides the 3DS, and the fact that they're coming out with a new Golden Sun, I'm so happy, because I loved the original Golden Suns. I don't know why, I didn't really even care for the second one, but the full thing was like, yes. They're also coming out, like I said before, with the new Zelda, which I am all on board with, especially since it combined two of my favorite things. I really liked Wind Waker because of its art style. It was all cartoony and cel-shaded. That was one of the first games to really do the cel-shaded thing right and to really make it look like a cartoon. So you were like, oh my gosh, I'm playing a cartoon. This is awesome. And arguably some people are like, oh, well, I don't consider that a Zelda game because of the cartoon nature of how it looks. You know.
I wouldn't even play that game on my yacht.
really? What are you playing? My monocle.
Oh, I only play Caviar Billionaire.
Did you know from the Nintendo DSi there's a caviar simulator? And if you look, my monocle is not on my face.
Oh, also, I've noticed with the new DS that it prints money, and I am just rolling in the dough. Anyways,
I'm gonna buy the expansion of that, because now I can counterfeit coins. Aren't I just so smart?
Victory!
Hi, I'm Tristan.
Yes. Okay, so, about those laser tigers, I hear they shoot out of eyes from elves,
and the elves are kind of like, oh no, not the laser tigers, they're shooting out of our eyes. And then all of the humans are like, oh no, the elves, they're shooting laser tigers at us. And then someone goes, how can you have a laser and a tiger put together? And they're like, no, it's a laser tiger, it's one thing, you can't separate them, because tigers have always been made of lasers and lasers have always been made of tigers. And they're like, no, but lasers are actually focused light beams. And I'm like, no, they are actually living majestic creatures that are like the Bengal tiger, but like the Bengal tiger made of lasers, and they just attack people because they're like, oh my gosh, it's a laser tiger. And then the elves are like, we exist now. And the humans are like, oh my gosh, those are elves. And they're like, well, yeah, I mean, we're not too different from a J.R. Tolkien version of the elves, but we do have our own kind of thing going on. And they're like, oh yeah, well, what's your own kind of thing? Well, I mean, we're the tiger.
I just made that up as I was saying it.
Holy crap, TZ.
Laser tiger is extreme!
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed listening to us rant and talk about random things in this, the fifth episode of the Amateur Voice Actor Roundtable Podcast. One of the things I always wanted to do with this podcast is just talk with my friends and have fun, and I think we've done that today. So I just wanted to wrap this up and say I hope that if you've listened to these five episodes that you've enjoyed it, and we'll listen to the next five, and the next five, and the next five if we continue to make them. Also, we've recently set up by Nitro, have a Facebook fan page that you can go onto, and there's a discussion spot where you can submit ideas for things to talk about. This idea was actually submitted by KillRedX. So, it doesn't have to be us coming up with ideas. You can come up with ideas. You could even ask us questions, and we'll answer them on the podcast. So, go to it. You just search it up on Facebook, and you'll find the official podcast page. You'll also find the first four, and after this one comes out, five episodes. Anyways, this has been Amateur Voice Actor Roundtable Podcast Production. Veroni Starchild made the intro, and editing is once again done by Nachocosm. Do you guys have anything else to say before we are done recording?
Thanks for having me on. It's a shame that we couldn't get Starchild and Potfly Gov to join us. Hopefully, maybe next time. And who knows, maybe we'll get more people. Would be awesome.
So yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed listening to this, and I hope you all have a good day. I hope you all have a good night. I hope you all sleep well. See you guys.